step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Netflix and Bill.
I kind of like the headphones.
All right, yeah, we can do headphones.
My narcissism is, I don't know, I can hear myself.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, everybody, welcome to Flicks and Bill. Season 9 is how I'm breaking it down, because every time, like, I went like 20 episodes in a row, and then I kind of shut it down, and then I've been kind of bringing it back for all these different just parts of my life where I have time for it. And so this is one of those times where I'm like, yeah, let's get it back. Started it last week with In and of Itself, which, have you watched that yet?
I have not.
All right, well, when you do, let me know what you think. I loved it. Mary hated it.
I know you've been hammering it to me, and I've also heard from a lot of people it's very, very good.
Yes, but, you know, go in and just decide for yourself. Mary hated it, but once I'll talk to you about it when once you've actually watched it.
There's a couple Hulu things I got to check out, and I don't have Hulu, so.
Oh, okay.
And
do you have the ability to make a fake email account?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I'm not very tech savvy.
Yeah, there's all these ways. I made my first NFT today.
I saw that. That's a fantastic piece, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Very well done.
You can't make those for cheap, by the way. Did you know that?
No, there's a lot of reasons I haven't made one yet, but that's one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, oh, am I going to spend $100 on a joke? I just spent $100 on a joke.
You know, it's not terrible. I've spent more money to do content, so, you know, all things considered, you could probably make your money back on that pretty quickly.
We'll see.
Just like harangue Natalie, Ms. Herbick, until she fucking just springs 200 and you make your money back or whatever.
Well, she did give me a nice little shout out on it.
I saw.
I mean, Natalie, chatter's building.
Yeah, the bidding starts at $200 for Natalie Herbick is what I heard. So that was what I saw on NFT.net, the official site for NFT.
I would trade all my shoes.
real quick about NFTs. The only people that have hit me up about, besides you, about doing NFTs couldn't be further removed from the art world or any level of creativity whatsoever.
Right.
To the point where I'm like, yo, here's my web store with existing art you can buy. I go, I just feel like you're a weird crypto bro that wants to have me murdered after I mint an NFT, and you're severely overestimating how much I could get on the market for whatever the fuck I'd be making.
I mean, if you look at the stuff that's being made on there, it's not great stuff. So I feel like you could, without being murdered, do pretty good, because I feel like I didn't see anything on there that blew my mind.
I'm not fundamentally opposed to doing it, but I gotta feel like doing it. Like, yeah. I have to want to do it. It's not like, you know, I'm still an artist, and when it feels right, I'll do it, and I have the time to do something like
that. No, I get it. Yeah. I mean, I did in like 15 minutes today, but I just posted a screenshot. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, my introduction to the world of NFTs is I heard Logan Paul made one and sold it for like $3 million or something. I'm like, well, I was like, I can wait to research this. This doesn't interest me too much.
It's a weird situation. So sure. I don't know.
It is fascinating. I'm not opposed. Like I said, I'm not opposed to it. It's fascinating.
But it is weird, and it's not.
Yeah, well, it's 2021, man.
I mean, it is the way art goes, though. Like, art goes to the weird places, so why wouldn't it go here? But it also goes to places where there's people that can, you know, they're looking for their new way to siphon money or launder money or get tax breaks, and go, oh, I bought all these NFTs with Ethereum, and now I can, you know, write this off because it's art.
Yeah,
that gives them like a whole tax break thing.
It's a whole new platform where you can make actual art, and also, you know, not speaking to what you specifically made.
Yeah,
it's a platform where there's going to be a ton of shit that has no value to the world of any sort. So it's just more of the
speaking
same.
Directly to what I did. I took a screenshot of a comment. Like, mine is the I'm the problem.
So you're making like an artistic statement in a way, if we really want to have like a deep conversation about it.
And that statement is Natalie Herbeck is a queen.
Well, that's a true statement. Yeah. Shouts to Natalie. So,
So I made one of those today. If you want to bid on it, there's links on my Twitter and my Instagram story. But this is coming out a week later, so it's on there somewhere.
You'll be in the thousands by then, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, that'd be nice. But we are here today to talk about another piece of art, the Justice League Snyder Cut.
Zack Snyder's
Justice League is what the official title is.
Which I'm so glad they actually called it that and not the Snyder Cut.
The Snyder Cut.
Hashtag Snyder Cut. Can I, real quick...
Give me your quick assessment. Yeah.
Okay. Number one, it's a vast improvement, in my opinion, on the original Joss Whedon's completed finished vision of Zack Snyder's beginning. But before I forget to get this off, because they hung on to the single most important scene in the history of superhero movies from the original, and I was very worried it wasn't going to make it into the Snyder Cut. And it is the scene where Aquaman, before he dives into the ocean, he's sworn to protect, litters a whole bottle of empty Jameson into the ocean before he dives into the ocean.
First of all, I don't believe it's Jameson. I think in the Whedon cut, it is Jack Daniels. Oh. And then I think in the Snyder cut, it is... Like, it looks like a similar Jack Daniels bottle, but it's a different whiskey.
We can agree it's like a white whiskey, label.
Yeah,
right?
It's a whiskey.
Yeah. I don't know if that, like, I didn't see nearly a big enough deal made of that after both cuts were released. But when I watched it the first time, I go, is this like an inside joke amongst production that this made it into the final cut? That, like,
so
Aquaman is littering.
But he's smashing a bottle. And then you make sea glass, and then crazy people like my ex-wife think they're treasures when they find it on the beach.
I think you're giving...
I'm just saying that there's people that are happy he did that because they think glass that gets softened and smoothed by the ocean is a treasure.
That sounds like people that entered... That sounds like... The best possible apology or defense you could make for it, the comedian in me laughed to the point of tears.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But that being
But it's also like it was one bro to another. Like Snyder's a bro, Whedon's like a nerd bro, but they're both like that same level of like toxic male masculinity.
Whedon is like Diet Snapple, and Zack Snyder's like Monster Energy drink.
Yeah,
is the way I thought. I think so. And I honestly,
I would say Whedon is regular Snapple. Okay. I would give him that
a little
much
sugary. Yes,
yeah, because he is bad for you. Like that
Snyder cut in again, in my opinion, made Whedon look terrible because
Whedon's been doing a good job of making himself look terrible in the first place. But yeah,
100%.
Well, and you could tell like he was just taking this movie and trying to make it Avengers.
Like, Whedon,
yes. There's like a side by side on YouTube where it's like, here's our thing that's in Avengers and here's our thing in Justice League, and he basically tried to turn this into that same movie. And then, like, with a dash of Ultron.
Yeah. Well, I also think the circumstances that the first cut of the original Whedon cut of the Justice League came out, you know, the circumstances were terrible.
Yeah.
You know, Zack Snyder's daughter died. Mm-hmm. We all know why. And that's I wouldn't wish that on anybody, obviously. So Whedon got kind of thrown in there. And if he wanted to make excuses, it's kind of like, this is chaos. I had to fucking just jump in and make something out of this and get some semblance of my own DNA on this thing of all this footage that Zack Snyder shot. And then when I saw this 4-hour version of Justice League, I hit up my buddy who works in the industry. I go, hey, how much did they spend on this? And he goes, $70 million. I go, there's no way they only spent $70 million on all this footage. He goes, no, most of that was cut for the original, and Whedon just nixed it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
They had all that for the original. The only stuff that they really shot for this was the epilogue scene.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can get to that, but it's, you know, even for no movie, in my opinion, should ever be 4 hours long.
Like, no, this, but and that's why I think that's good that they parted it out. Like, if you watch it in parts and like take a break in between each part, it's a lot easier to handle than just trying to sit down and slog through a 4 hour movie.
Oh no,
I've been kind of having it on in the background for the past three or four days. And it's really starting to grow on me in like a big way where I'm like, oh, this movie's got a lot going on. And, you know, and that's kind of how Zack Snyder makes movies, especially superhero movies, especially where, you know, you're giving this guy, he wants to put his vision out there. He wants to put his thing out there, and he's taking all this comic lore. And the one thing that I do like about Zack Snyder is he is absolutely a comic fan, and made comic book movies for most of his career, I feel like, because he started with 300, he made Watchmen. Superman, Man of Steel, Batman vs Superman, and just like so, he's very well versed in the comic lore.
Yeah.
Where you don't see that all the time, but then he also is a big fan of Zack Snyder.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Zack Snyder because I relate a lot to him, you know, as an artist in my own right.
I don't know about that. You use colors.
But, like, your urge to put your thumbprint on something is so fucking strong,
mm-hmm.
you're willing to throw a lot out the window to just get... I think most of the swings and misses he's had, I could blame on the studio.
Yeah.
I thought Man of Steel fucking ruled.
I like Man of Steel, but, again, it was one of those things where I'm like, I have to... It's hard to scrub your brain of some of the Superman trope that is so ingrained in you.
I could say the same about Watchmen, but he wasn't afraid to take a swing at it.
Well, and again, like Watchmen, I thought he did a wonderful job with. I just didn't think he needed to change the ending. Why change the ending?
Because he just can't help him. It's like me with it's just me with anything.
If someone sends me a
logo
ending.
To use in a layout, I'm just like, if we just fucking just like, can we just like, if just I need to fix it because the ego gets in the way of it.
But it's not even fixing it. It's changing it. And again, I wasn't that upset about it because he still achieves the overall goal. But then when I saw what Lindelof did with Watchmen. I was like, well, this motherfucker got it even more right, and he was just doing a continuation of everything that happened in Watchmen, and I think did, you know, keeping the squids intact and keeping, keeping more control in Adrian Veidt's hand was key, because when you give all the credit to, like, that he's got too much of an ego to say, like, oh... It was this big bad blue guy that did everything.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. He needs it to be.
We're talking about the TV series.
Yeah, the TV series.
Okay. Full disclosure: I did not finish the series. I watched a couple episodes, and it just. I've heard it's fucking a masterpiece.
Brilliant.
Like back to Watchmen. There's. I like Snyder's movies, even like stuff that could be objectively considered not great. It's so fucking pretty.
Yeah.
I could just sit there and drool over the visuals and stuff. That's why I defend the guy so much.
Well, I like the visuals. I think he is a great visual storyteller. I don't like, I make fun of the slow motion that he uses, but I feel like it gets, you know, I'm used to it with him. So it's just like,
there's a lot of slow motion.
There's probably Snyder a little too much slow motion for my taste, but I know I'm ready for it when I go in.
I think,
and he didn't use as much slow motion in Batman vs Superman, so he had to get it in Justice League.
And Batman vs Superman felt a lot like, oh, here's the studio trying to keep pace with Marvel.
Yes,
and you can feel where the studio stepped in and said, "Hey, we need you to just put this in. We know what you're trying to do here, but we also just need you to kind of just do this.
But here's the thing, too, with the way all these movies, in all the Zack Snyder DCEU movies start, I feel like, weirdly, they're not even slow, but with all the stuff that you're, like usually gets taken care of in advance, or like you can do it through subtext and stuff like that, and then he takes a really long time doing it. Like the whole, like on Krypton, when Krypton's ending, like it's fun, it's a cool scene.
We're talking about Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, yeah. It's fucking, that's a really long scene.
Well, he does that in Batman versus Superman, exactly. Where over the credits he once again retells the origin of Batman like anyone in the universe doesn't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And he's like, I gotta put my little stank on it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. And so when he's doing that kind of stuff, and I know he's just trying to tie all his films and make them be their own thing, and you're supposed to just look at them as his films and they're all tied together, I get that. But also it can be a little bit tedious. And then what it does is once you start getting into the action, it is fucked down your throat so hard that you're like, I don't know what, like with Batman versus Superman, I didn't even know if I liked it or didn't like it, because from the time that Batman and Superman start fighting with each other, the action picks up so much that you watch, you're like, okay, there was an hour of fighting, but it was so much that you're like, I don't even realize that he's not fighting Superman anymore. He's just beating up bad guys to try save Superman's mom. It was because there's so much fucking action.
At the beginning of that movie, the solo Batman stuff where he's beating criminals to a pulp. Mm-hmm. I was like, why can't he just make a Batman movie separate of this? I was like, because I would love to just see Batman beat the shit out of dudes.
Yeah.
And kill people and make all the rules and stuff.
That would have been very nice if they had that forethought to do Man of Steel, do a Batman movie, then bring them together.
It would have changed
everything about
DC
it.
DC saw what Marvel was doing in this. Well, the studio, Warner Brothers, just was kind of like, hey, you know that sequel to Man of Steel 2? You're going to put Batman in it now. And how about Wonder Woman?
And then you're going to kill Superman. Like, and then we're going to jump start all this stuff. And Lex Luthor's going to have long hair. And like, I don't know. But anyway, back to Justice League. All right, so it starts with Batman going and trying to start recruiting people.
It starts with like a lot of slow motion yelling.
Yeah, slow motion. Like
7 minutes.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think as an actor, you have to learn how to make people believe you're feeling things. And I think one of the most difficult things as an actor is to do believable screaming.
Sure.
So one of the scenes, and again, we're jumping all over the place, when Ray Fisher, who plays
Cyborg,
is becoming Cyborg, his screaming when he's turning into this robot man is really weird.
Yes.
It's not great.
No.
And it takes you out of it because it's not like, he's not in pain, he's just scared. And I think that's probably what Zack Snyder's like, hey, this doesn't hurt you, it's just weird and scary. Well, so he's like, yes.
Yeah. Here's what really stretched my willing suspension of disbelief. He's a fucking 34-year-old man playing college football.
Yeah.
And I go to these movies all the time. I never want to hate him. I never want to start shooting holes and stuff. But I'm like, this guy, the problem is you saw what Marvel does with their de-aging technology and all those movies now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you could have tried to make this dude look like a kid. A college kid. But
or just cast a college kid.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it's I don't want to
somebody
start
that looks younger than him, but like he's a fully formed man. And but also if you look at some kids that, you know, are college football players, they look like grown ass men, pretty hard. Yeah. So that didn't bother me as much, but I do like that they're playing a real college and he's going to a city college playing a Big Ten team.
Oh yeah, Gotham City University playing.
Name one city university that is going to be any good at all at sports.
I can only think of the Gotham Rogues from The Dark Knight.
Gotham
has like a lot of sports going on.
Yeah.
For a city that's always on the verge of complete chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean,
what was the team they were playing in that flashback?
Wisconsin. Like Wisconsin, the Badgers. Like,
so they footed the bill to use Wisconsin Badgers license to license their team identity and stuff.
Yeah.
They could have just made up, like, they could have made Gotham City University, could have just been like Ohio State or like,
yep, Penn they could state have done something. Any state that they wanted. They you know, but
I don't like, I guess the bigger picture with Cyborg was, and I don't know if it was to motherfuck Joss Whedon, but I'm like, why do we need to focus so much on this character and the development only of this character who's kind of like the least interesting of the Justice League to me?
Right, but I think it's so you can understand he was very important overall in the script. Also, that I think it's the Fox, what the Flying Fox or whatever it is, the big ship that they all fly around in.
I don't know the name of it. I don't know the name. It was like a giant fish shaped.
Yeah, jet. So that big fish shaped jet, I definitely got vibes that Cyborg wanted to fuck that ship.
Oh yeah, well I mean his power is he can summon Merrill Lynch at the drop of a dime, and then he can just control the entire internet at mm-hmm. once. So I mean, it's like I get it. It's
right,
like,
but then when you get something that isn't coming to. To you right away, like the ship was playing a little bit hard to get. Like the nature was to fly, but it didn't fly the first time he touched it.
It doesn't, you know, you got to finesse it. You got to sort of, you know, like rev the engine a little bit.
Right.
You got to reach under the steering wheel a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you work the fingers a little bit. And Cyborg's got like all the mechanical fingers that reach in there and shit, right?
Yeah. And I also think it reminded me of the episode of Futurama where Bender starts dating the ship. And I'm like, I would totally watch a episode or like a one-off where Cyborg and the ship are having a thing. They're having a little fling and trying to keep it from the rest of the Justice League.
So if it was like a Marvel thing, right? Mm-hmm. Not to keep weighing it against Marvel, but Marvel would have.
But that's what happens.
Like yeah, dude, it's like it's the DC Warner Brothers is so hopelessly trying to just keep pace with Marvel chaotically that this is what we end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so blatant with the whole thing that with this movie, with Aquaman, with Batman versus Superman, it's impossible to look at it and not go, oh yeah, well, so like, you know, Thanos is coming to Earth, so then like they brought like this unity with these mother boxes, and mm-hmm. and you know, then you got like Steppenwolf, he's just, well, the unity for the dark side, and he's like shows up and like, oh, here's this guy,
the anti-life equation,
the Antifa equation.
Yes, exactly.
It's like I'm just like the first time the original Justice League cut, when that dude would show up, by the third or fourth time he showed up in that weird portal, I go, oh, here's this guy, what the fuck is this? I was like, this dude's not intimidating. I don't understand his motivations. He's like an after-school cartoon quality villain.
Right.
And it's like, this is the big bad guy. And then, you know, like, Snyder gave the guy a visual upgrade. He looked cool. Like, that image, pin cushion looking thing.
He looked cool, and he also had a lot more depth because he was trying to get back into the good graces
Well,
of
from,
Dark
like,
Side,
a real nuts and bolts VFX standpoint, you know, not to, like, shit on the work of a bunch of animators, the original cut version looked super bad.
Yeah.
It looked like PS3 quality.
Well, I
graphics.
Mean, that's it because it was all rushed and slopped together. It was just,
so blatant, you know. But the new version of Steppenwolf at least looked cool, but I was still up against the thing where I'm just like, why am I supposed to, like, what? Like,
yeah.
And then it's like, the marketing of this whole thing, they just keep selling you Darkseid, and they keep like so Darkseid is the Thanos of DC. He's mm-hmm. like the big cosmic bad guy. So that you're like, cool, can I just see Dark, like, can you just like can you
can
like,
we get a little bit of him?
The assistant to the executive VP, can right. we get him out of the way, and can we just have like Michael Scott show up, and like mm-hmm. can we just, you know, do this thing?
Do it the way we would like to do it. And we got quite a bit of Darkseid in it.
Yeah, I guess I should reiterate, I liked this movie. I thought it was clearly better than the first version, and I was trying to not watch it like wanting to clown it immediately before. I wanted to give it a thorough chance.
No, I give it probably like out of 10, I would say like 7.5, maybe 8. Like I thought it was good. Like and again, as I rewatch it, there's more and more that I'm getting. I'm like, okay, I like the way he brought this together, and like he there is. weird as Snyder movie, not weird, but like, as you know, heavy handed as his impact is, he does have a story to tell, and he does 100%, 100%. And he does have each character to have a motivation and have an arc to get there.
It goes back to like his Man of Steel in the sequel to that, where it's like he clearly wanted to tell a story that hadn't been told for Superman, which is an impossible task,
right?
With such a goody-goody Boy Scout character that is basically just like a God Jesus right. type of character
that always does the right thing and always makes the right decision.
So he's like, he's gonna kill Zod at the end of this thing, and he's kind of,
and he's gonna hang way on him.
Yeah, he's conflicted and he's filled with these regrets and and so it's like, yes, he's not afraid to take a stab at taking it in a direction it hadn't gone before, but it's just when it comes to Superman, you can't really fuck with the suit. Because the suit is the suit. It's so old-timey. It's so mid, you know, so 1940s, 1950s. Mm-hmm. You could throw some, like, piping in the sides, but it's still got it's maybe some scales on it, but it's still the Superman suit. So then they made the black Superman suit.
Yeah, I actually had that written down as something. Oh, what'd you think of it? No, that's great.
It was cool, but it's also just, it's fucking Superman. And when you, like, just see all the stuff he was doing with Batman and... I didn't love Flash's suit, but he put his own stamp on the Flash suit.
I didn't love the Flash's suit either. I mean, Batman suit is like the most functional. I feel like they've made Batman suit where it's, you know, he can move a lot in it, and I thought they did pretty good.
Tactical Batman suits always look pretty cool, even when they're like bulky and like they look kind of like the Arkham video game ones where they're kind of just overly teched out. But the one thing drove me fucking nuts about this version and the version before it.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The fucking Bat Oakley sunglasses.
Yeah, that's Throw a lot me of that.
Fucking,
there's
crazy.
A lot of that.
I couldn't. I'm like, man. I go.
You know who you voted for with those on?
I'm like, man, is Batman playing left field for like the fucking Astros or something? What the it's fuck like, is this?
Especially considering it's a Snyder movie where there is no sun. Like the only time you ever see the sun is when Superman goes into outer space, and it's still, he doesn't fly directly to it. He flies to the side of the Earth where you're just getting like a little trickle off
it's
of it.
It's a very overcast world.
Yes,
in the
it's very funny. Diane Lane is the hottest woman, I think.
She's transcendently delightful.
Shit farmer though.
Nah.
I don't know why they like keep trying. At the end of the movie, they buy her farm back. I'm like, she's not good at farming. Why are you getting like she's not capable of taking care of this. Don't give it to her just because of nostalgic reasons.
I'll be very honest. By the time that epilogue happened, I was so just, I'd been so fucking stretched out and fucking wrung out, and I was like, what's happening right now? I haven't seen the Joker yet. I know he's supposed to be here. And
I paused it and I looked like on the internet. I'm like, where's the Joker? Did I miss the Joker? And then it was upcoming, which, you know, that scene, that has me kind of like, I want to see more trench coat Batman, you know, shooting guns and kicking ass. And like, if that's the way this is headed, I want the Snyderverse to be restored.
I like where it was leading, but that,
trench coat Batman's cool.
Trench coat Batman is super cool.
Trench coat Batman makes up for Oakley Batman a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's the dust bowl Batman is pretty cool, but Jared Leto, for all the stuff I liked him in, and fuck, I'll even come out and admit it, I kind of like some 30 Seconds to Mars songs. I don't care. I'm 41.
They're
good.
I don't have any problem with that.
That performance was like YouTube fan-made YouTube Batman movie quality. Like,
oh, yeah. I'm with you on that.
Dude, I was like, because by the time the epilogue happened, I was like, sorry, let me backtrack. By the time they started marketing Leto's Joker for this thing, and it looked like a black metal singer, I'm like, he's going to be in this movie for about 14 seconds, mm-hmm. just because it was so late in the marketing cycle for this whole thing. And I think Leto's good in some shit, but when he showed up and it's just him doing that laugh, I was like, We're doing this, huh?
He didn't know. To me, it seems like he didn't understand who the Joker is whatsoever. And he's just like, well, I saw what Heath Ledger did, and I saw what other actors did, so I'm just going to do my version of that.
Well, also, what was weird is, so you know what he was like in the David Ayer Suicide Squad.
Uh-huh.
And it was him and David Ayer Suicide Squad. You can judge for that whatever you want. And then he was very different. You know, he wasn't talking like, mm-hmm. you know, talking that chit-chat's going to get you hurt, see? It was mm-hmm. like more like, you know, YouTube goth teen doing his Joker impression.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I think he was like, I very much think he probably just was like, got off a meditation retreat from 21 days. He goes, so what's on, talking to his assistant, like, so what's on my schedule for this week? What's the Justice League? Yeah, okay. What's the Snyder cut? Okay. Okay. Great. Cool. Okay. Let's go.
Got it.
Yeah. Wouldn't have to be there. 3 hours. Fine. Cool.
Uh-huh.
I know it was supposed to be like a dream sequence, but the constant racking of focus in that scene was making me feel like I was on ayahuasca or something. Like it just was like little too dreamy.
Yeah. I mean, that's more stuff that I just expect in those situations, that it's going to be that kind of thing. But I just like Batman in that duster and kicking ass in that.
There was like a lot of cool. I thought Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne and Batman was fine.
Freaked out over there. I was on board from the first moment he was cast, because I'm like, this dude is built like Batman. He knows Batman. Like, he's kind of been campaigning to be Batman for a long time. Like, he would have been great. Like, I think if they would have cast him in the Dark Knights, he would have kicked Christian Bale's ass as Batman.
Yeah, I think, you know, we obviously make a sport out of debating who the best Batman is, but I think most of them stand on their own merits, even like Clooney. But like,
Clooney was a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I thought Affleck was fine. There was like just enough smugness about the Bruce Wayne, and even his back and forth with Alfred was pretty good. I didn't think he was the problem. Clearly, it wasn't one of the problems of the original cut of the Justice League.
No, I don't think he was ever the problem. I think with Batman and Batman versus Superman, I think that was just a little too slapped together, and they didn't build up the characters enough to give us the showdown, because we had to get to know Batman in that situation.
We didn't know we'd need a 4-hour-long movie to achieve this.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not even, I don't know if I'm complaining about the length of it, but it's just wild. It's wild to me that the studio would just give a director another shot at the thing and lock him in an edit bay and be like, let us know when it's done.
Well, that's what they had. That was part of the marketing thing, where it had to be like, if we're going to say, give us the Snyder cut, then give us the Snyder cut. And that's what they have to do, because they also know, if you give us a 4-hour movie and we're, you know, nerds that are in a pandemic, and we have access to it every day for a month, and then they're going to take it away.
Well,
if
this
that's
was,
what they're going to do. I don't know if that's what they're doing.
This was rumored and ballyhooed before the COVID.
Well, I know that, but I mean, like, once they saw everything, and they, you know, they probably changed marketing plans a billion times.
But
then, like, yeah, make it 4 hours and leave it on HBO Max. And because, I think this is just staying on HBO Max. And
I think this was the first rewatch thing they were promoting through HBO Max as far as theatrical releases went.
Mm-hmm.
Which it made sense. So yeah.
So they're they can make so much off of this and just keep people continually going back to their app for a month, because there's so much in this movie that all the, you know, DC nerds are going to be like, yeah, let's continue to break it down.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess the movie, but I wanted to see a sequel by the time it was over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
absolutely.
Especially when I realized at the end of a fucking 4-hour-long movie, we weren't getting a battle with Darkseid. I was like,
oh, I knew that wasn't going to happen.
I honestly thought it was going to be sort of like they were going to fucking whack Steppenwolf, and then it was going to be the big battle with Darkseid. But, you know, there was enough there, and there was enough of like, it's like any other Zack Snyder movie. It's like, yeah, I'll fucking see another one of these. I don't know if I want to see another 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't know if they need to be 4 hours. But again, if you release them on HBO Max and I get to watch them at home and watch them at my own pace, then I'm okay with the 4-hour aspect of it.
Yeah,
because I watched it in parts. I didn't just watch in one sitting.
Oh, I was trying to fucking put the Clockwork Orange eye things open.
Oh, yeah.
Ramrod through 4 hours of it.
I think that's the most difficult way to do it.
Well, it was the same week that Falcon and Winter Soldier came out, so it was kind of like I had something to look forward to for once. So, like, you know, the thing came out. I watched with my buddy, like, a good 2 hours of it, and then I'm going to need to fucking split this thing up here. And so, I made it in two sittings, and then I started watching it again the other night. It's just like another Zack Snyder thing where the visuals will always carry me through watching whatever it is. And then my official review of the first Justice League, I don't know where you're going after this, but is I just watched it and clearly it's not an enjoyable movie. It's not a fun movie, but I go, you know what? I go, Jason Momoa looked like he had fun doing this. Therefore, it's a good movie to me. Like what I'm ratcheting my expectations to.
And I think that's the one thing that they need to tweak a little bit with these is like, you have Ezra Miller trying to be the Flash, also terrible when it comes to the pain acting. Whenever he'd get hurt. Also, let's talk about how the fuck do you shoot the Flash? Give me a ricochet or something where it catches him off guard. Not someone that guy's the biggest badass in the whole movie. The Sentinel, you know, he's just a soldier for Steppenwolf. And he is able to time it up to shoot the fucking Flash when he's just running circles around
like
the place.
That parademon guy, right?
Yeah,
That was like, I guess you just can't have Flash like just fucking run around super fast. I thought it was interesting.
But that's what I'm saying.
Superman when Superman could clock him and you saw him running in like the Speed Force and like then Flash was all fucking shook about it. That would have been a better solution.
I think, you give a distraction to him. And I guess he was at a point where he was near his limit. So he was, you know, maybe distracted by that.
That's when he was running laps forever. Laps and like, Cyborg was just trying to fuck that box for a real long time.
Yeah, trying to fuck that box, yeah.
Man, he's just trying to fuck everything in that movie, man.
Mm-hmm. I got to give that guy credit for being able to shoot the Flash because he shot the fucking Flash. And then his pain acting was not great.
Yeah. There's just a lot of moments acting-wise in that movie where I'm just sort of like, that's a weird decision. Mm-hmm. It's a weird way to convey that, I suppose.
Yeah.
When we're introduced to the Flash again, when he's like into that girl at the pet store and then the car crashes and we get the sesame seed close-up. I was watching my buddy Will. He owns a Spotted Owl. Shout out to Will. And he goes, there he is. Because it's that macro shot of the sesame seed in like fucking super, super slow motion. And my buddy just goes, oh yeah. He goes, this is what I signed up for right here. I was like, yep. I was like, this is the 4 hour of,
Snyder Cut. That was one of those things too, where people had to write their think pieces on everything. And they're like, here's why that scene was problematic. And I'm like, you didn't even mention the sesame seed. And I don't know.
Why was that scene problematic?
Because the damsel in distress or something. I don't know. Because the way he like sniffed her or something. I don't know.
He did kind of like
move her hair around. Yeah, yeah. So.
And then he stole a hot dog.
Yeah.
And then he like gently laid her down. But it's not like he finger banged her while he was in the Speed Force.
But it's just one of those things where people will always find a reason. I mean, I don't know if you've been reading
people in
all
2021
stuff.
Will find a reason to get offended by shit.
Yeah, they will. I don't know if you've been reading all the stuff about Winter Soldier and Falcon and the Winter Soldier because every episode, here's what they got wrong this time about how to write black characters and blah blah blah. And I'm like,
look, I'm not.
They're doing it. It's an MCU show.
I'm not trying to be.
And they're addressing things that the MCU has not addressed before. And
I'm
think
not
that's
trying
good.
To be Republican guy.
Yeah.
I could really give a shit about fan think pieces about what.
Oh, I agree.
Studios got wrong. What creators of any sort got wrong.
Right.
Go make your own fucking fan made YouTube if you're bothered.
That's what I was telling Mary yesterday. We were talking about modern art.
I don't feel right, not to cut you off, I don't feel right coming on here criticizing like a film that thousands of people spent time making, good or bad, you know, but I'll do it because I got opinions about it. I'm passionate about it. But it's like...
But you're also not tearing it down, and you're also not being
if you're going to watch something just to fucking...
Shit on it, yeah.
Tweet about everything wrong with it. Why are you watching it?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Like, to reiterate, like the shittiest movie I could ever imagine, I didn't walk into wanting to dislike it off the rip. I want to be amazed. I want to be surprised, and I just want to be have just my eyes opened wide and forget about my shitty life for 4 hours.
4 hours. Yeah, this one gives you. Double what most give you. And then you're relieved when it's over because, like, holy shit, that was 4 hours. Give me some real life for a minute. I need to.
Yeah.
I need things to move in real time.
I'm going to go look at, like, some flowers and watch, like, the movie Drive, or I don't fucking do some drugs or something just to feel anything again. I don't, like. I don't know. And then it's the whole thing from its concoction, it was very hard for me to not try to roast a lot of aspects of it because you basically.
But that's okay.
You're raised to believe that when you make a movie and millions of dollars are spent on it and it's made, it's done. Mm-hmm. And then we just move on with our lives and you make a different movie.
But that's not the case at all. And I think that's becoming exposed. Like, as soon as this came out, then one of the producers or directors of the director of. This is Doubtfire is like, hey, we got an R-rated movie version of this. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, give us that too.
I saw something about that. I thought it was an Onion article. I couldn't believe there was actually a fucking R-rated version of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, I mean, just imagine Robin Williams on that set where they go, okay, let's get the one that we need, and then we're going to let you do 4 or 5 where you just go off. So I could totally see how they would have an R-rated version of him fucking around and just saying some wild shit.
I mean, but so
I don't think it would be like, you know, like a full. I think he just was probably using some nasty language at times.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds like a 90-minute long blooper reel and an outtake reel, which I'm not saying I wouldn't watch that.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I guess I get a little closed-minded being an artist and designer, and I fucking can't stand the idea of having revisions forced down my throat. Which is why I kind of fucking hated the notion of the Snyder Cut.
Right, but but again, this is not revisions. These are like, you're paid, like for Mrs. Doubtfire, you're paid to make a PG movie. But then you have an actor that is Robin Williams.
Oh, no, I'm not speaking to the Doubtfire. Yeah. I'm speaking to Snyder Cut. Okay, no, well, Mrs. Doubtfire, like that's, especially since Robin Williams isn't with us anymore and he's fucking Robin Williams. Yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah, and then, but the Snyder Cut, yeah, that's also been one of the biggest problems with Warner Brothers and their superhero properties all along, but dating back to the Tim Burton Batman, where the studio can't get off their dicks and let them make the movies that they want to make.
No.
And not because they care about the source material, but because they just want it to be marketable at so many different levels and, you know, have all the toys and bullshit.
Yeah, and I think once they saw how Marvel built a universe with like a singular vision and how everything was locked in and tied together and stuff, they tried changing course and making decisions on the fly after these movies were made.
Yeah,
and they tried adding in all these things, and it like it's clearly just the byproduct of something that was not thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And too many
cooks,
and you end up having 3 different movie Jokers at the same time, and you have 2 different Batmans that don't have they're not the same. Canon or continuity and
now there is a new and the one thing is like I feel like whoever because they're very involved the studios when it comes to these properties and the theatrical releases but it seems like the series and the cartoons they let them do it and get it right because the DC animated stuff is fucking fantastic.
DC and Warner Brothers stuff for years has had it on Marvel with the animated series and I won't pretend to be a champion of those, but the word has always been that those series have always been extremely well done. And they just screw the pooch when it comes to the films.
And going back to the Superman in his like black suit or even the suit that he wears in Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, I want to pull up there's a new Superman and Lois show and they do they show a costume that is like one of the original ones, and it's like so bright and so like, where is it where he sees, like, I mean, they got the modern version, right? Of course. Like, so they got this one, but then they got another one that's like much more, let me see if I can find it, where they're doing a flashback.
Oh, it's where that same this actor one, yes. is wearing like an old, super old timey version.
Yeah, so like the super old time with the black in the S and everything like
see,
that.
See, that like honestly looks way cooler
to me. I agree. I love that.
That looks like the old action comics, like the
Superman,
first.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it looks like the George Reeves Superman from those old serials.
Yeah, I don't believe that there's no such thing as an unsolvable concept as far as good movies are concerned, but when you're presented with the idea of Superman, especially in 2021, it's just so hard to create a modern telling of that story, especially when you look at like what they can do with Batman,
mm-hmm.
you know, so many different ways, and it's always at worst interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, Snyder, I like Snyder and since that Dawn of the Dead remake. And then when that Man of Steel remake, I think because I remember how shitty that Superman Returns movie was.
Right. Yeah.
That Man of Steel movie was
it was a breath of fresh air.
Perfect popcorn movie. Because shit, it was like it just turned into like a Godzilla movie for like the last hour and a half when shit was crumbling and punching and fucking explosions.
But that's what I'm talking about, where he goes, all right, here's all this setup where he's going to be on a fishing boat for a while, and then all, like, his skin's on fire. Like, he's just, I just want him to have his skin on fire at some point. But he goes, all right, so now once the action starts, it's nonstop.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it to a 10 and leave it at a 10 until we get to the end. And then everyone's going to calm down a little bit, and then
I just like that Henry Cavill got himself in such unbelievable shape. They just shoehorned scenes in that movie where he was shirtless for no real reason. You know, he just shows up at that one house and like stole some laundry off a line. And it's like the guy's body fat is 1.2% or something.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, if I was in that kind of shape, I probably would insist on never having a shirt on.
And that's why when he's fighting in Justice League, and he's fighting all the members of the Justice League, he's like, can we do this shirtless? Can Superman not have that? Should have just been his that should have been his new uniform. Is just butt naked Superman,
like wearing Dockers and then no shirt on.
I say go Stone Cold Steve Austin, cut off jeans, no shirt, and just let him go out there and fucking beat the shit out of people.
That would be hard.
Like he is just an angry drunk dude in a trailer park.
I'm real glad that the whole Pet Cemetery stuff got cut out of that scene. Mm-hmm. That, because that was so clearly like a Joss Whedon thing, and I was not enjoying that at all. And it was, again, it's like, yeah, you can't do shit with Superman because he's God. Tough.
He's too much, yeah.
Yes.
He's got too many, not only is he super strong, can fly, is invincible, but he also has laser beams and like ice breath and shit. Like, it's like, come on, let him have. And then his only weakness is one, caring about people, and two, green rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't really get into that in this one, which is why, like, I hope they let him do a Justice League too. And I don't know how they won't, because even the previous iteration of Justice League made a ton of money.
Yeah.
In spite of how bad it was.
I mean, not a ton. It was not.
Well, you know.
It made enough. It made
sorry,
enough
like, that use. That was, like, back-to-back with Suicide Squad, and those both were very joyless movies to watch. And I think, objectively, few would say those were good movies. And they still made money.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of had to shift the marketing. You know, the Hollywood has this thing that it's like, if I have any conspiracy theories, it's they'll make a movie that they know is not good, but they'll prep audiences, and they'll start marketing how shitty it is, and they'll leak out. They're like, this is going to be fucking terrible.
Yeah, so by the time you see it, you go, it wasn't as bad as that.
Like, you know what? Wasn't that bad. Yeah. They go, cool, we have your fucking $9, and we'll see you in a few months when we shit out something else.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Anything you want to – you got any NFTs you want to put out there? Or?
No, I got a pizza shop I'm a partner in, Ohio Pie Co.
Nice. Good stuff.
Currently – building out a second location in a clandestine undisclosed location, which we will disclose at a later date.
It's going to be close to me, and I'm excited about
probably
it.
Probably a little closer than Brunswick. I'll leave it at that. But you can okay pants on Instagram, OKPANTS.
And buy some of his shirts. He's got good shirts.
Got shirts, got enamel pins, and then just say, hey, just give me a couple likes. It's been a long quarantine. It goes a long way.
He's also incredibly funny on social media, so keep that in mind, too.
I try. Thank you.
What was your little Nas X tweet that you had yesterday? That was really fucking funny.
Oh, shit.
All I came up with was Air Max are the perfect shoes to play fiddle in.
I didn't even watch that video.
I watched half of it, and I was just like, I get what he's trying to do. Like, he's trying to make people mad. Like, I honestly,
if you're doing still controversial stuff by devil marketing in 2020 and you pretend irked by it, that is completely your fucking problem.
It's one thing because he's doing devil marketing, but then the video's real gay. So that gets religious people.
I think you know what it is I think they're more upset about the gay. Young black gay guy and that most religious dickheads know they can't just come out and say, we can't have these gay blacks just shirtless, deliciously roaming about. Like, so they go, Satan! You know, it's like, who fucking cares, man? Like, but a smart guy. You know, the guy wrote his first hit song. He was a gay black guy writing a country song. It's fucking great. Yep. I don't remember what the tweet was. Twitter, okay pants. It's okay pants and everything. I try to make it worth your while.
Because I think it's worth. You've had a couple. I mean, you're always very funny on Twitter, but
so are you, Bill. I appreciate.
I haven't been doing jokes enough on Twitters. I need to get back to doing some jokes on the Twitters. Where are you?
I've been going after Chet Hanks lately and his white power.
Oh yes, I agree. That's good to do. That's very good to do.
Let's see. Hot Topic's got to go back to the original store branding now that Lil Nas X brought Satan back.
That's a good one.
Was that it?
I felt like there's one other.
Or I'm endlessly thankful to see the timeline pretend irked by a little red guy with a pitchfork and not a fucking plague.
I think it was the combination of two of those.
It doesn't feel like I'm so exhausted from this COVID shit like anybody else's, and it doesn't even feel like jokes anymore. It just feels like I'm doing my best to not come off like a fucking crank that's just exhausted by the world right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I'm sorry. I'm just I stopped listening to you. I'm exhausted by you. I'm kidding. But yeah, thanks for listening to this episode. Next week will be, I think we're gonna do King Kong versus Godzilla. Ooh. And I believe with my movie squad bro, James Douglas. And so you'll be able to check that out also on HBO Max. And then once Winter Soldier is over, I feel like I'm going to have you back and we'll go through that.
I'm enjoying that one.
Yeah. All right. I am. Thanks. Like, subscribe, share. Thanks for having me, dude. And thanks for being here.
Netflix and Bill.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.